What's up, my fellow blurbs? This is Brandon Calloway, founder of Dark Moon Comics, writer and creator of Black Spartans manga, and welcome back to another episode of Black Comic Creators. This is a podcast where we talk to Black comic creators and Black manga creators from all across the country and learn a little bit more about what inspired them, learn about their work, about the comics and the manga that they're putting out, and just their overall business in general, how they went about building it and what makes it fun for them. So hold on tight as we dive into this creative world of Black excellence. Hope you're ready. All right, welcome back to another episode of Black Comic Creators. I have the dope Jaquan Allen here of 2923 Comics. And if you listen to the show, you might have heard me mention 2923 before, because when I first got in to comics and I was trying to figure out how to do this and what to do, I hit up Jay, and Jay actually was the one that showed me the template to how to write a script. And to this day, I have probably over a few hundred pages in all of the scripts that I've written, and they all follow that same template that Jay showed me. So one, shout out to him for that, and two, go ahead, Jay, introduce yourself, talk about who you are, what you do, and 2923.
Yeah, man. My name is Jay. I'm the creator and founder of 2923 Comics, and the creator of Scarlet Knight, Defender of the Block. Launched about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. It started off as a dedication to my late grandparents, and I wanted to provide those same ethics and same morals to kids that look just like me, with a dope storyline that was in fantasy, because I felt like Black people weren't represented in the fantasy genre as much. Now we're seeing a lot more of it, and there were a few other creators before me, but I kind of wanted to add like that hood element to it a little bit as well. So been doing it this long, man, just enjoying the journey and seeing where we can take it, and now currently working on an animation for the Scarlet Knight Defender of the Block.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the Scarlet Knight story, like what's the storyline, and then a little bit more about the inspiration of it.
Yeah, so the Scarlet Knight is about two cousins who were raised by their grandparents, who go out to school and become ER doctors. So they return back home to, you know, pretty much give it back to their community, but they stumble upon a magic gem that makes them knights in the modern day time. This story is kind of loosely based on my brother and I, how we were raised in the same household, but went to totally different places in life. I, of course, got my issues out very early, but he continued on. Like, he kind of took the baton and served 9 years in the federal penitentiary. So I kind of wanted to kind of help those same kids in the community that look just like me, same community that I grew up in, and kind of helping them navigate community and also how to fight those powers that be in the underserved community.
Yeah. So how'd you get into, like, how'd you get into making your own stuff? Like, did you just know it was a thing that you could do? Did you, you know, like spend years researching? Like, what made you actually, I guess, tell that story through this medium?
Yeah, so I already started writing scripts a while back, and it was just one of those things where, like, dude, like, I'm grieving. I also want to write a movie about this, but I know Hollywood, it's a good chance Hollywood ain't just picking up scripts randomly. So I was just like, well, how can I get my content out there? And then that's when I just thought about it, like, man, you know, comic books. I was like, you know, I was really heavy into comic books growing up. My grandfather used to actually bribe me with comic books to get me to go to football practice when I was younger. So I just kind of like did the same thing that Brandon did with me. I started to reach out to folks and ask them about the comic book industry. And I got the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, people were telling me like, hey, man, this is the most self-funded industry you could ever be in. And if you can help it run. And then I had other people like, you know, Greg from Asana Wear Spider, Brandon. He also helped me out a time or two from Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer, who's also getting his IP turned into some work now as we speak. And them brothers, and I hope I'm not missing anybody, but those brothers basically just answered the call. Like, I randomly Googled, found those two, and asked those brothers, like, hey, man, you know, how did you do this with the comic book? Like, how does it work? And it was people out there that was definitely just like, hey, this is what you do. And if you want to do it, man, good luck. And then from there, you know, you never really know. People always warn you, but you never really know until you get into the industry. So when I got into the industry, I mean, I tried to do it on my own for so long. And I got a fraternity brother named Sharon Thompson, who's also a part of another organization such as Gift at Porterhouse KC. Shout out to them. And he was like, you know, Quan, man, you gonna go broke trying to self-fund this on your own. You need to really get into Kickstarter. And I'm telling everybody the story here because, you know, everyone's journey is not the same. You know, everybody's journey is not the same, and that's okay. Some people got momentum, some people don't get momentum. But what ended up happening is I was doing it on my own for so long. And then Sharon was like, man, you need to get on Kickstarter. So I got on Kickstarter and failed, didn't do too well. Then somebody else, see, you got to listen to the storyline, son. And somebody else was like, hey, man, you need to get on Indiegogo because you get to keep what you make. So I got on Indiegogo and I actually funded 117% for the Scarlet Knight Defender on the block. Man, it was from there, it was just, I mean, full steam ahead. When you think about, I hope I'm answering the question because I answer things in the story. Everything I talk about, I answer in storyline. So I'm just kind of just giving you the story of how it went down.
So good, man. We storytellers.
Yeah, exactly. So I do the same thing with my son. I'd be like, I got a story for you. And I kind of tell him when he tries to understand something. But I went down that road, funded 117%, got a lot of momentum thanks to Startland News. They did an article on me. I guess I was one of the, I could have been the first, or I don't want to throw any disrespect to anybody there, but I just kind of had a story and Starlink News did an article on me, and that got me a little bit more momentum. And next thing you know, Scarlet Knight ended up getting created. I found Peterson on Instagram, hashtag comic book artist, and he came up. And for some reason that communication seemed organic. Like I was telling Brandon before we got on, everybody I work with, it feels organic. If I ever feel like a person is not genuine, or if I ever feel like they are like hesitant to work with me, I do not work with them. So he was the only person that I can kind of say, like, he was just like, hey, when you ready to get started? And that might've been because he was hungry himself. He was just now really getting his feet wet as well. And at the time, I don't think he had his comic book out. So from there, I was able to pay him on a consistent basis. And we just went from there, man. And Scarlet Knight came out, and I haven't been at a con yet that I didn't either sell out or almost sell out.
That's what's up, man. That's what. How many cons you feel like you hit, and how important do you feel like cons are when it comes to building your audience?
This is also important in the story because I believe it was Greg that I talked to from Asana, and he had told me, like, bro, you got to hit the con circuit. Because one thing we forget is, like, when you're running a comic book company, you are a business, and don't let nobody else out there tell you otherwise, because it's supply and demand. You got to hustle just like everybody else out here. You got to get your content out there. And that was like one of the biggest things, was that what Greg told me. He's like, man, you got to hit the con circuit. And so far I've maybe hit like 7, probably hit more than that, but these things start to run together. Some have been free. Some people have offered me for me to come. The biggest one that I sold out at was Planet Comic Con. I didn't get to do that one this year due to COVID scare. So I'm definitely, I mean, yo, con, bro. Let me say this too. You gotta know your pitch. This is why comic book creators should go to like business cohorts and things like that.
Yeah.
Because they will teach you how to do your pitch. I learned my pitch from another creator at Planet Comic Con in like 5 minutes before the con started. And this dude was like, hey, dude, this is what you need to do to be successful at this con. He told me you need to have what you're talking about down in under a minute. You need to also have, make sure the flow in front of your table consistently moves. Never let anybody sit in front of your table that is not buying anything. Also have snacks and a sign-in sheet at your table. And when I tell you I did that, at first I started off kind of rocky because it's kind of weird. When you go to some of these cons, people don't want to make eye contact with you, but it's crazy because everybody is selling there. So everybody's selling there, but sometimes if they feel like you ain't got a product that they want, they'll try to avoid eye contact. Yeah. So what I did was I just pulled the hustle out and just been like, hey, anybody that made even a glimpse of eye contact with me, I told them to come here and holler at me. And a lot of times they don't want to disappoint you, so they come to the table. And I pitched, I probably pitched, how many copies did I have? I had like over 400 copies. And then I did pre-sale at one of my cons and I sold out all that and had pre-sale.
That's what's up.
When I tell you, I pitched just about to everybody unless they came up with someone else and was listening. And now everything that I do with Vimbu is the same thing. Like they talk, any cohort I've been a part of, they talk about pitching in under a minute. They talk about finding your business contacts, getting the email list. All that is done. So I definitely would suggest that all creators in any capacity attend a cohort, even if it's like for a weekend or maybe a few weeks, because I feel like we're not going to get a lot of respect when business until we start doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely, man. Cause you know, I was in the business part of it before getting into the comics part. And so exactly. when I got in and started tabling stuff and people was like, all right, here's the secrets to tabling. I'm like, those are just a business.
Yes.
Like that's just business.
That's just basic business practices.
Yeah.
And you don't know that because they try to, I feel like the world tries to treat us like over glorified hobbies.
Yeah.
And if you ever follow me, that is one thing I always say I'm combating is like, bro, we're more than over glorified hobbies. We're businesses and we need to treat it as such.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I always say, I think the next big thing is coming from the indie space. And so the next Marvel and DC and Image and Boom, all of that, like, that's just, I mean, like you just mentioned David Crowns, right?
Yeah.
Like Harry Demon Slayer, like that. That's the next big stuff.
And it's other people out there that's doing like big this stuff. It's people out there doing big stuff, man. Real big stuff. I'm listening.
Yeah. And I think like Greg from Assign a Were Spider, he just had some big announcement the other day.
Yeah, I actually was riding on him. I hope he listened to this too, because he did something for black hockey players, and you know anybody that follows me knows my son is a black hockey player, and I was like, bro, you could at least told my baby boy that what you was doing, because he's one of five in the Kansas City area, and in the state of Missouri he might be like one of eight, nine or ten, so I think that was big, and I did show my son, so he's excited to get that comment.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. And it's one of the things that I like about the comics industry. I mean, we sitting here talking about like all of these other indie creators that, and like we know these people, right?
And so access to them,
right? It's access, and I feel like there's a lot of support that comes from you know wanting to see people, want to see other people shine, like you said.
Yeah,
you randomly reached out to people and they respond. I randomly reached out. And you know, some people ignore you, but
I mean, but that's basic. That's something else too. That's basic business. Like everybody's not gonna be a champion for you. I actually I help with a pitch competition, like a pitch class last week. And I kind of said during that cohort, I said, you know, because I was helping individuals get their pitches together and, you know, find their story. And I said, listen, everybody in these rooms is not going to be in support of you. And you have to understand that and know that going in. But if you know your stuff, they can't say like, hey, that kid doesn't know his stuff. They can always say, well, he knows his stuff. I just don't like it. And it's just like that in the comic industry, like people ain't gonna like it. I'm pretty sure it's people that just say, hey, I don't really rock with Jaquan's IP. Like it ain't good to me. And it's people that I've said that, like, hey man, like the guy's great. It's just not my cup of tea.
Right.
I've said that as well, but it's nothing wrong with, people not liking your stuff. They just have to respect you and respect the work that went into it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's not gonna like your stuff. Like you look in the mainstream comics and mainstream anime space, you know, like the Doctor Strange movie just came out.
Yeah.
You're going to see people talking about how much they love it.
Yep. And how much they hate it.
Equally talk about how much they hate it.
Yes. You know? And more, to honestly, they're going to talk worse about it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You got like the Narutos, the One Piece, like One Piece is a great example. Like people love it or absolutely hate it, and it's not possible that it could be equally the best of all time and the worst of all time.
Yeah.
So that's just people's opinion, man.
Everybody got one.
Right. Right. Everybody got bad. You know, people process stuff. They like, some people like some things, some people don't. But on that note, what talking about mainstream stuff, what are your, like, and you said your dad used to bribe you with comments. Mm-hmm. What was some of your mainstream, not even inspiration, maybe inspirations or just favorites?
Yeah, I would say my favorite has always been Spider-Man. Like, I've always been a favorite Spider-Man, because I think he was, like, as far as, like, storyline, he was as close as I could get to someone similar with a similar background, right? Mm-hmm. Like, raised by a surrogate parent, pretty much didn't have any money growing up. Was just using his wits for the most part to kind of get out of his situation. And then he stumbled upon a lot of responsibility that he necessarily didn't want, but it was already there. And, you know, I think about that with my younger siblings, right? You just think about being an older sibling and you'd be like, man, this is a lot of responsibility I didn't ask for, but it's mine. So you got to kind of like take it and run with it. So I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. Honestly, when it comes to what we have today with Spider-Man, I've never had a problem with any of the Spider-Man movies that have ever been made, or the Spider-Man creators, like the people, the actors that they pick. Mm-hmm. Now, the movies, some movies might not have been to my liking. I might have been like, they could have did better. But as far as like all three of them, like, I think they had good choices and they were a good fit. So I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. Also, when you think about Batman, I've always been a huge Batman fan. Oh, man, I've been a Batman fan since forever. Only thing I hate about Batman is just not consistent. It's so many storylines, so many graphics. It's just, I'm just one of those, I'm a creature of habit, so I like to kind of keep things consistent. But outside of that, I think DC is definitely now going in like a heck of a direction, and what they're doing with all the DC, like, you know, kind of showing a different point of views, trying to do a different angles. Like, when it comes to their content, I told you I'm a Frank Miller fan, but I like the storylines, but it was a little adultish when I was reading it, but it was more so the aesthetic of how it looked visually. Like, mm-hmm. it's very simple. So you don't have to have all those colors and all the adages and the extras. Like, it's just basically to the point, it's more on the storyline, like, more than anything.
Yeah.
And Frank Miller stories were also something that I kind of gravitated towards because of the storylines. You like, man, dang, this is kind of, I can see this happening in my community. So I can kind of relate to it. This is the same way I was with Shakespeare, like with Hamlet and Macbeth. Like, I actually knew real stories like that. So I kind of like gravitated towards it. Like, this can be real. And one thing we have to understand about human nature is, like, nothing new up under the sun.
Right.
So I like DC for the realness and all their comics. And I like Marvel for the fantasy element, but the relatability of it. You know, you think about X-Men and you think about like the civil rights movement. I know that's one that we always use,
mm-hmm.
but if you ever been in a situation like that as a Black man, you kind of be like, dang, bro, I remember, you know, my grandpa had to deal with this, or a story they told me, you know, in dealing with racial persecution and things like that. So you gravitate towards it. Or I can understand what Magneto, he was pissed off. He got tired of being treated like that.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people in my community was tired of being treated like that. So they was pissed off, and they was like, by any means necessary. So when you think about people like, you know, Professor X, you'd be like, man, some people are just like, man, hey, bro, you know, we gonna go this the long route. Do you not still respect your local pastor because he wanted to go a long route in a more tactful way? Like, I knew people like that in my community that would say, hey, man, this is an issue in our community, but we're going to go about this the long way. So I always pull elements that, you know, that was kind of near and dear to my heart and the community that I grew up in. And that was the same thing I did with Scarlet Knight. Like, everything that's in Scarlet Knight is real. You know, my grandparents' likeness is in the comic book. The two main characters represent my siblings and I. You know, when you think about coming back to your community, I could have went anywhere in the U.S. after I graduated, but I went back home to try to do my part. It was so many things that I intertwined, and even some of the characters that are in there today, like, you have likenesses, and I have likenesses of a lot of people in my comics, some local, some people that had an influence on me growing up, Even issue three, there's gonna be a few likes, few more likenesses. I'm actually adding Porterhouse, KC, Dan, and Sharon in the comic. Mm-hmm. You know, Brandon, let me know if you want to be in there too. Like anybody that has like a piece of me in my journey and was there, I just add them in. I add that element, and I think it adds that heart to it, makes people pick it up.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up. So speaking of issue three coming up, talk about what's next. What you got going on and all of that.
Yeah, so issue three is coming out. Another Scarlet Knight theme. You know, we go more into, if you ever read issue one, issue two, we just talk about that feud between Apollo and Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is my he's named after my son, and we talk about that feud and what it means to kind of like have a common ground where you both understand each other, but you just need to do things your own way. Mm-hmm. Also talks about, I shout out the Black Cowboys in this. I got a new character. If you ever read issue three, I introduced the Outlaws, the Sheriff Outlaws. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather was heavy into Westerns, so I kind of wanted to add some Black Cowboys and rodeo and stunt performers in there. And, you know, you get a little bit more into their story and why they're doing what they're doing. Also, I mean, we talk about heartache and loss. So I always add like real storylines to my comics of things that I've experienced throughout my life. And we're going to talk about the loss of a child and how a parent will react to the loss of their child when they have the power that they can use to hurt others. So thinking about that, I know a lot of people in my community and a lot of families who have suffered from losing a child to gun violence. And I wanted to talk about that. I wanted people to kind of see what some of these parents may be dealing with when they're losing a child or lost a child to the streets. So, this person is not Black. So I kind of switched it up. Like, I didn't want to make them Black. They're actually of Asian descent. And I actually did a lot of research. So any other culture that I place in my comic books, I do research. Mm-hmm. I ask questions just so it doesn't pander. Just as it comes off the right way. It's kind of like having somebody Black write a white sitcom. It's not going to work out. Right.
Right.
So the cultures are different. So I did a lot of research for this, and I'm actually excited to have this on our comic. Same thing with the Sheriff Outlaws. They're Latino, and that was my first Latino character. And my so my tattoo artist is Latino. Shout out to Isai. And I just hit him up, and I start asking him a lot of questions. Next thing you know, I got all the tattoo artists in the tattoo shop helping me out. Another young lady named Priscilla, I went to school with. Her and her husband also helped me. So shout out to them. Before I placed the Sheriff Outlaws in my comic, so. You know, I just did my research on this, and I'm excited for it to come out. Something else we're working on right now is the Scarlet Knight Defender of the Block animation. I've been sharing it here and there on my social media. It's building slowly but surely, but just be a little patient with us. You know, we're working with one artist, so things take a little time. But, I mean, we're just going to keep rocking, get issue three out. And then also we got Meet the Hills coming out. That's already done. We're just my new partner. Shout out to Wingless Comics. Wingless Entertainment. We just did a like nice little partnership so that I can continue the life of the Scarlet Knight Defender of the Block and honor my grandparents. So we're now working on that. I'm also thinking about bringing Brian on. We've talked a few times about the animation, and we're just trying to just really just build a network. So many people out there doing great things in comics, man. I'm just trying to just, you know, on top of my tech business, man, I'm just trying to like figure this all out and really just build on it, man. Cause there's so many people out here buying IPs. Like we all need to be out here just kind of like picking it up.
Yeah.
Picking it up and finding these opportunities for ourselves straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's what's up. I think that, you know, the like Black fantasy is really booming right now. And you know, I'm more, you know, in the anime and manga space, but even there, like Black anime is its whole becoming a whole thing in and of itself. So, I mean, I see in the next 5-10 years, it's going to be a bunch of, you know, Black centered, Black main character titles.
Yeah.
In the anime and comics, just fantasy space, superhero space, and all of that. So I'm excited for that boom, because I I think that, you know, like we was talking, like all the people in these, like these indie creators, we all know each other. And I think that this is going to be where it comes from, you know. Godhood is getting some of their stuff turned into, I think it's either a series or a movie. But I know it's live action.
It's so many, man. It's so much content out here, man. Like, I honestly, in my opinion, and I've been saying this, and I think I said it to Brian before too, I said, you know, we really need to hop on this animation game. Like, if we can just build, even if all the creators, what do we really want from this? Like, do we want to, like, just worry about ourselves and our own content? Or do we want to just be like, hey, let's get in this animation game. Let's find some animators, put us to work. Let's work on the storylines, put it on YouTube and monetize it. Yeah. Like, kids, like, my son don't really watch TV. He's on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's on YouTube. Like, we can get on there, and it's kind of like, it's like the rap game. Like, you know, the independent artists are the ones making the money. So we need to figure out a way to do this. And I've been saying that, like, when creators really start playing nice in the sandbox. And I always hear bickering back and forth about this. Like, nah, creators work together. Black creators do it. Like, that ain't the reality for a lot of us. Like, we have to really figure out a way to really, like, combine our works. And, you know, if you got a guy over here making $50,000 off of Kickstarter, you know, what would that bring if he combined with other creators? If he combined with other independent artists? Or if you're making $50,000 at Kickstarter and this guy over here making $120,000 and this guy over here making $10,000, and you got even guys out here making $4,000 or $5,000, like, just think if we all put them heads together and be like, hey, bro, we're gonna have our stuff on the side, but we're gonna do one big project and you know, pull out a series with a 30-minute episode once a week or once a month, bro. It's too much money out here to be getting for us to be working independently.
Yeah, man. That would kill.
We got to get on it, man. Just every, you know, I brought stuff up to Brian. I brought stuff up to you. Like, I got so many ideas, but unfortunately, we're in a world where things cost money. So we got to kind of like figure out and put our heads together and figure out how we can make these things cost effective,
right?
And really make them, put them out there. Because I would love to put out a comic book every year if I could.
Yeah.
But when you really get in the industry, you know, like, bro, like, just, I had a headache just from getting the $5,000 that I did get. And then on top of it, I got to get these printed. I got to get these out. I got to go to cons.
Yeah.
Like, running a comic company is difficult at times. So, you know, we got to get really pushing for people to really make the comic companies grow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up. Speaking of growth, man, tell everybody where they can go and get physical digitals of Scarlet Knight 1 and 2.
Yeah, so right now I got the website shut down currently. Right now we're making some updates since we just did the Wingless Entertainment partnership. So working with myself, really just trying to find somebody to do the new website. So as of right now, you can go to our social media. We are on Scarlet Knight, Scarlet_Knight2923 comics on Instagram. You can hit me up there. Definitely want to order, I'll send you an invoice or a receipt. You can also hit me on Facebook with Scarlet Knight the book series on there. Also, I have all my contact information on all of my social medias. You can contact me anytime you need. And I'm located in stores locally in Kansas City, at Bebop. I'm at Clint's. I can't remember the other one. What's the other one that's in Kansas? I can't remember right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. I'm seeing it in my mind, but I cannot.
That's off the top of my tongue, but I'm there too. So just about every comic book here locally in Kansas City, comic book store locally, I do have my comic books there. So going there, walking there if you want to purchase, come. I've actually sold out at Clint's a couple times, so it's a big spot to go because it's right there in the heart of the city off Westport. So other than that, hey, man, we're still rocking and rolling. You can email me, scarletknight2923@gmail.com. Anytime you have questions, hit my social media up. It's always public. I'm here to help. People help me, so I'll be selfish not to pass that on.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Appreciate you coming through. Definitely encourage everybody to hit up Jay and check out the Scarlet Knight. Check out 2923.
Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for listening. And like I said, keep creating. If you got out, man, look, it ain't these two people right here will help you in a second.
Yep.
If you want to start your own comic, I encourage it, but let's figure out some other ways we can really do this. I'm telling you, I got some ideas, some things that I'm really trying to do, but we got to think outside the box now because content is changing. So let's collaborate.
Yep. That's what's up.
So that does it for another episode of Black Comic Creators. Hopefully you found a new creator to follow, you had a little bit of fun, learned something, and just enjoyed yourself. So like I said, that's it. Next week we got another new creator, new content dropping every Friday. Trying to drop every Friday. Don't hold me to that. But yeah, new content coming on a consistent basis. If you're interested in learning more about Dark Moon Comics, more about the manga that we're releasing, go to darkmooncomics.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram or Facebook at Dark Moon Comics. Check out Black Spartans and make sure you like and subscribe and just follow the podcast and stay tuned for, like I said, new episodes dropping every Friday. Peace.